What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? Coming to you guys on a Saturday, which is a little rare. I was planning on doing a Friday show. Normal stuff, life happened, didn't really work out. Tomorrow, Cinco de Mayo, doing some fun things with the family, so not going to be able to do a Sunday show. So I was like, there's no way, you know, we're about a week and a half out from the draft. I'm not going to do a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday show. It's just too long without talking 49ers football. And so I want to say, thank you guys, guys and gals, and you know everybody that's here. Really, really do appreciate that. You guys are the absolute best. And today, I don't know. I had fun. sometimes I scattershot my shows. Today, we're gonna see how deep this rabbit hole goes, Alice. The red pill or the blue pill? That's what we're doing today. Ricky Pearsall, obviously, you know, the first round pick for the 49ers, the very first. First round draft pick in 3 years since Trey Lance. This pick has to mean something. So I know long term with the 49ers, the wide receiver position, Ayuk doesn't have a long term deal. He's got, you know, his fifth year option. We'll see. I do think that he will get locked up long term. Debo's got a very easy out. Plus, trade rumors are already swirling. Plus, you got 1 year on Juwan Jennings. I understand long term. Pearsall's fitting somewhere, but that's not what I want to do today. The 49ers Super Bowl window is open. Open. You kept every damn wide receiver, not Willie Snead. You know, he's got his own things going on social media here. You kept all of them. You kept everybody for this year. Plus, you drafted not one, but two in Jacob Cowing and Ricky Pearsall. So today's episode is like, look, I get it. Pearsall's going to be a starter long term. But how do you get him more snaps now? How does he get more involved with the team? Let's just be honest. Uses less wide receiver snaps than any other team besides the Atlanta Falcons. That's right. Shout out to Warren Sharp. He always does great. At Sharp Analysis, I think is his Twitter. But he went through and he put together how many teams use three wide receiver sets or more most in the NFL. 49ers were second to last. The Atlanta Falcons were dead last. We were second to last. The Rams were first at 95%. It's crazy. 49ers only 39% of snaps use three wide receiver sets. So what we're going to do today, we're going to do an in-depth everything going through what the snap totals were last year at the wide receiver position, who's gone, who could steal snaps, could we adjust a little bit of the Shanahan formation things, look at tight end two, that's going to fit in there as well, and kind of see what that looks like. So that's the goal of today's show. We're going to do a deep dive into how to use Ricky Pearsall. Then we'll do some Q&A. We're going to talk road trips. We're going to talk, you know, what you're most excited about, all those things. But the meat and potatoes today, Ricky Pearsall, 2024 usage. How do we get those snaps up? That's what I want to do. Appreciate everybody showing up. What's up, Josh? Love it. Look at this. We've got some trivia. Random fact. This is from Josh, the man. 49ers were established in 1946. I'm not a smart man, but I think that's 82 years ago. No, you got to subtract, don't you? Because we're going back 78. Yeah, again, I told you I wasn't smart. 78 years. That's what's up. And look at Josh come up with another one. Aaron Rodgers never beaten the 49ers in the playoffs, despite claiming he would pay them back for not drafting them. And that's going to continue with the new Jordan Love. You know, he's already 0-1, and we get a play in Green Bay this year. Now, playoffs, regular season, different stories. But, you know, everybody likes to draw the similarities between Rodgers and Love, and rightfully so. Drafted, sat forever, then got the opportunity and shined early. Jordan Love's incredible. But I want to keep that comparison going. Rodgers 0-4 against the Niners in the playoffs, and already Jordan Love 0-1. He's got three more losses coming, big dog. You can do it, Jordan Love. You can do it. Appreciate everybody showing up. Look at all these hashtag CCs. You guys are the best, man. Even on a Saturday. Let's do it. Let's do it. Saturday show, David. What's up, man? Good to see you, brother. Colin, give me the hashtag CC. Appreciate the super chat, my friend. You are awesome. Colin, I appreciate it. I should have downloaded the video. He sent a picture of his little girl. I think that was you, Colin, on some type of like spitty chair in the middle of the living room while you're watching the show. And it's just kind of comical because she's doing like 30 revolutions per minute on this chair with me talking nonsense in the background. Pretty awesome. pretty awesome. Right here, Josh. Ricky is going to be a problem in the slot unless corners get their hands on him. Yeah. You know, I just keep going back and forth because, like, I like Ricky. And I shared one video. I shared lots of videos. I think I have, you know, I schedule my tweets out a lot of times. I think I have like 20 plus Ricky Pearsall video clip plays going out on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, you know, all across our social media. And if you're not following us on social media, please do so. Instagram, 49ers Rush Podcast. On Twitter, at JL_Chapman. Facebook, 49ers Rush Podcast. Wherever you are, Threads, Reddit, we're all over the place. But I shared one critical, not negative, critical post of Ricky Pearsall. And man, I got emails calling me all kinds of names saying I don't like this guy. I love Ricky Pearsall. I really, really do. Now, did I have a first-round grade on him? No. Did I have a top 50 grade on him? No, I did not. But that doesn't mean it was a bad pick. That's not how the draft works. Now, if you look at Pearsall, he's got a lot of positives. And you talk about the separation. You talk about hands. You talk about toughness. You talk about him being fearless, being a gamer, clutch. He's got so many positives to his tape. Yeah, I highlighted one negative, but I've also highlighted a lot of positives as well. And I get social media. This is the way it goes. You know, you do 10 positives and one negative. Everybody calls you negative. You guys that are here with me on a Saturday in May, I think you guys know me a little bit better than that. But I really do like this Pearsall pick. So much so, like, I started thinking about, like, okay, why did Kyle like him so much? The three cone, I get it, elite, change of direction, hands, whatever else. But then I was like, okay, let's look NFL. Let's forget about Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. If you could pick up Ricky Pearsall and place him in any NFL team, who is he going to be worth the most to? Now, this year, probably not the 49ers. But long term, you pair him with a scheme and a powerful quarterback that's going to highlight his strengths. And I was like, man, probably The Chargers came to mind with Harbaugh. And guess who Harbaugh went after? McConkey, who's Ricky Pearsall 2.0. They're the same. I had McConkey a little bit higher, but pretty close to each other. I mean, they're similar play style, similar strengths, you know, whatever. I'd say McConkey plays a little more outside, but that team could make sense. They need wide receiver help. The Chiefs, that makes sense. But then I'm like, man, those two teams, but long term, Brock Purdy, Kyle Shanahan, Ricky Pearsall, that kind of triangle, ooh, come on now. That's as good as it's going to get. Who's going to be able to use Ricky Pearsall's traits better than Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan? Horizontal separation, timing, anticipation routes. I don't know. It just, it makes sense. I'm not saying it was a value pick. I'm not saying it was a home run or any of those things. We'll have to see. But as far as the pairing, you know, the dating profiles, if you will, it's a match, baby. It really is. Shanahan, Purdy, Pearsall. They go together like peanut butter, jelly, and bread. Oh, there we go. I was struggling there with the third one. Came through. Got to have bread on there. Otherwise, you just make it a mess. But I do like the pick. And yeah, he's got some issues. He's not the cleanest prospect. He went, you know, late. He went at 31. That's what it is. So, no, we traded back. We got him at 32, didn't we? Man, I've got to get better at this. The trades all over the place, which I really, really did like. That was cool. And we need to do a full episode talking about all the trades and the value and all the stuff. It's funny, whenever I post like hypothetical trades, they're like, oh, the Jimmy Johnson trade chart, nobody uses that. Every trade the 49ers did was almost identical on the Jimmy Johnson trade chart. For quarterback trades in the top 10, yeah, that I get that. There's a premium always, but that's what it is. Swaggy J says, I realize Ricky may not have the highest ceiling, but he has the highest chance of hitting his highest ceiling, and I think that's an underrated choice of a pick. Yeah, again, Shanahan, they're going to get it out of him, no doubt. Right here, Hugo, he says, yes, right here. Will there be a show with Wayne and Johnny Dell on Monday? Yes, there is. I think it's at 9 a.m. Pacific time. We had to move the schedule around. A big reason why it's hard to do shows together is it's just very, very difficult to schedule stuff with people in three different time zones all across the country, families, jobs, all that stuff. Yeah, I got 9 a.m. Pacific time. So 12 noon Eastern time. Me, Johnny Dell, Wayne, go subscribe to their channels if you haven't yet. I mean, they're just freaking awesome. David, and Brock and Kyle, we trust. That's what it's got to be for the 49ers moving forward. I really, really, those are the two paramount pieces. Everybody else, we'll see. It's Brock and it's Kyle. Those are your foundational building blocks. Now, you know, we could go and maybe that'd be a fun thing. You know, who fits, you know, the Mount Rushmore of 49ers building blocks moving forward. I don't know. Those two, that's now and then. So for the next decade, Kyle and Purdy. Hopefully Fred Warner, you know, CMC, how long is he going to play? Kittle, Trent, go on and on. Debo, Ayuk, whatever. It's two. Purdy and Shanahan. Probably Shanahan than Purdy, but that's what it is. That's what you're building around.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And so can you maximize everybody else, because you got to pay Purdy after this year, to continue to be competitive? I think you can. I really, really do. And Dan says, you know, the more you watch Pearsall's film, the more you love it. That is factually correct. And I'm going to extend this. I wouldn't plan on going down this route now. The more you watch game tape of Purdy in the game itself, Purdy is a clutch gamer. All right, I got to flex just a little bit here. My Dallas Mavericks closed out their series yesterday. And, you know, this is just an analogy, right? So one of the best fourth quarter, second half players in the NBA is Kyrie Irving. However you feel about him off the court, I don't really give a damn. But if you've watched him this past series, dude had like 2 points at the half, closed out with like 28. It just went off at the third and fourth. That's Ricky Pearsall every time I watch him. Every time I watch him. You know, I look at a stat line. Like, okay, I'm going to watch this game against Mizzou or against, you know, South Carolina or LSU. I don't care. Whatever. Fill in the blank. All right, so I pull up the game tape, the silent game tape, and it goes in order, obviously. And I'll see, like, okay, 5 catches for 80 or 7 catches for whatever. And I'm watching the first half, and I'm just like, man, what's Pearsall doing? Like, he's got like 2 catches for like 12 yards, nothing too big. And then the third quarter is like, ooh. Then the fourth quarter is like, ah. And then it's like, yeah. Because as the game gets bigger, so does Pearsall. So does Pearsall. That dude, clutch, 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 clutch. When it matters, Pearsall shines. First quarter, I'm not saying he like sucks early. That's what I'm saying early. That's not it at all. It's just, some players rise to the occasion. Ricky Pearsall is him. When the game's at its biggest moments, Ricky Pearsall shows up. So here's a clip. Shout out to Juan Solis. He's the best ever. It's 4th down and 10. Fourth quarter, down 3, last offensive possession. 4th and 10. Plus, you got a bad quarterback. This is against South Carolina. 4th and 10. Last drive of the game. He haven't even looked his way yet this drive. Look at Pearsall. Give him a chance. My man, look at that. 4th and 10, fourth quarter, down 3. Hey, stay alive, man. Just survive. Tropic Thunder style. Ricky Pearsall, look at him adjusted. Read the quarterback, comes back to the ball, secures the catch. Biggest play of the day. Just stay alive. Man, nice ball adjustment, secures the catch. Huge play. Sometimes you just got to scramble drill, you know? Just throw it up to Ricky Pearsall. He'll make you happy. I don't know why. And you see him secure the catch, you know what I mean? Contested catch rate. Love to see that. Just go up. You know you're going to be getting hit, so go get it. Yeah, and I mean, come on. Now, here's the thing. That's not where the story ends. He converts the 4th and 10 to midfield. They're down 3 in field goal range. And what's he do? He scores the walk-off touchdown on a 30-yard post route. Clutch, man. Clutch. Clutch. And right here, Dan, thank you. I agree with you. He says, you know, going back to that, who's the cornerstones for the future? He says Brock, Kyle, and Bosa. Yep. I was wrong. 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 That's my Charlie Murphy Hollywood stories. But yeah, you're right. Bosa's got to be included in that. That's on me. He's the long-term plan there. And I think, you know, Bosa's the long-term plan for the 49ers. I think you've got at least 5 or 6 more years, and I hope we get another contract with him. And I hope he's a lifelong 49er. And the cool thing about Bosa that I like the most, not maybe the most, is that he doesn't win off of explosiveness and speed. Older players, you know, when you lose that step, some guys are just gone. They're gone. You talk about like Patrick Willis, one of the all-time greats. What did he say whenever he retired? I ain't got the wheels. I ain't got the wheels. I'm not going to play. Like, he won with speed and physicality, and he was just great in so many areas. But whenever speed took a step back, he's like, I'm not doing this anymore. And so whenever guys win with speed and you lose speed, your game is no longer there. You look at guys that win with physicality and technique, I don't even give a damn what the position is. Talk about Richard Sherman. Dude ran like a 4.68. I think it was like 4.64, but whatever. 4.640. He never won with that. He was able to prolong his career. Why? Physicality, technique, the opposite side of the ball. Anquan Boldin. Dude, he played forever. Why? Never won with speed. He went fast. Physicality, technique. That's what it is. How does Bosa win? He's got the best hands in any defensive lineman, period. That's what he wins with, not speed. Yeah, he's got speed. He wins with physicality and technique. He's a technician. And so, you know, forget about the age of Bosa. That dude could play for a minute if he wants to. He doesn't have to. His family's loaded. Everybody's rich, whatever. But if he wants to play and he's uber competitive, you got to include him there. Man, well said. Well said. Well said. And I'll say this too. You know, if you, I keep seeing a lot of the Johnny Dale, Wayne, and me show on Monday. If y'all got questions, email me. I'll put them in the show notes and say, hey, let's spend some time on these. 49ersRushPodcast@gmail.com. Or you can reach out to Johnny, Johnny Dale's, or Wayne, the Wayne Breezy. Man, I miss Wayne. And, you know, as the offseason goes, we're bringing back the John and Wade show. I keep seeing like people like, oh, what's going on with you and Wade? Like, I love Wade. That dude is my brother. Like, I love that man. I really, really do. So anyway, we're not John and Wayne show hopefully will last forever. What's up, Fonzie? I'll take always the Mavs love. What's up, Don Burr? Detroit versus everybody. I love it, man. We get to play each other this year. We're a home game. Gonna be a lot of fun. Hopefully y'all come back out because, man, I'll be honest. When that NFC Championship game, my favorite 49ers game I've ever been to, was awesome. They stalked. They had some fans there. But as the game went on, sorry, man, it just got worse and worse and worse, but it's what it is. Now, excuse me, sorry about that. Let's shift. Let's go back to kind of what we want to talk about here with three wide receiver sets, because I think this is huge. All right. Warren Sharp put this out. He listed every single team, 1 through 32, on how many of them use at least three wide receiver sets last year, just the regular season. Sorry, getting choked up over here, but we're good. We're good. 49ers, 39%. That's it. Second fewest. The Falcons had 18% dead last. That's going to shift with them as well. Rams were first with 95%. So it's crazy to find a way. The 49ers kept all of their wide receivers. All of them. Ayuk, Debo, Jennings. Ray's gone, but that's it. Ronnie Bell, Conley, Kyle Juszczyk, who actually lined up a lot at wide receiver. I know he didn't count in the three wide receiver sets, but whatever. You got all those guys, plus Danny Gray, if he comes back, if he'll be, you know, involved or whatever. You've got all of that. So now keep in mind, the league average is Seattle. They're right at 16, 32 teams right in the middle, with 65%. So 39 to 65%, that's 26% increase, almost doubling, a little less, of what the Niners traditionally do. So let's go through these snaps of what we did last year. Right here, permaculture. It says, yeah, Rams were three wide the most. Totally understood the nickel cornerback. Now, makes sense, doesn't it? And here's what's crazy. And I'm going to constantly keep referencing this because it makes sense now. McVay is a Shanahan disciple. He took Kyle's system. And then whenever he became the head coach of the Rams, and he talked about this on the Playmakers podcast, Jordan Rodriguez, great job. She does an incredible job. Where whenever he started installing his offense with the Rams in training camp, he kept the Kyle system. Two tight ends, 21-12 personnel. Like, that's what he was going to do. But he kept, every time he went to 21 or 12, he looked to the sideline, and Cooper Kupp was sitting on the side. And he's bringing in a tight end, too. And he's like, well, Cooper Kupp's better than my tight end, too. Maybe we got to change things up. And so then he went to 11 personnel, which is one running back, one tight end. That means three wideouts. And so ever since that moment, he's never looked back. Because Cooper is that slot guy. He's the wide receiver plus role. Juwan Jennings role. That's what he plays. But obviously, Cooper can play them all now. But he couldn't back in the day. And so McVay transitioned his entire offense around Cooper Kupp. And it's worked. It's worked really, really well. Now, will Kyle do the same thing? Or is your strength still in 21 and 12 personnel? Well, let's look. Okay. Christian McCaffrey not coming off the field. He's not. He led the offensive skill position players and snaps, had over 1,000 last year. George Kittle not coming off the field. He's not, unless he's injured. Now, in the past, you had Kyle Juszczyk out there. That's your 21 personnel, your fullback, two backs, one tight end. And, I mean, Kyle Juszczyk, the 49ers ran, and this is where we're about to get nerdy. The 49ers offense ran 1,024 offensive snaps last year. Not pass plays, not run total, just during the regular season. We're removing the postseason right now, okay, because that keeps us in line with all 32 teams and the percentages that we just set up by Warren Sharp. So we're trying to stay consistent there. Kyle Juszczyk played 604 snaps, so 60% of snaps. He's out there a lot. Now, what happened with Kyle Juszczyk this offseason? They cut his salary by like 60%. And they said, look, man, you saw what happened to Armstead. Sorry, man, if you want to stay here, we want you here. But we got to cut your salary this year, and we got to cut your salary next year. That's a two-year cut. We want you here, but we've got to move some stuff around. We just have to. Why? Was Kyle ready to transition out? We don't have a Kyle Shanahan, or we don't have a Kyle Juszczyk backup plan. What if Kyle Juszczyk said, nope, I know my worth. You know, he does the Eric Armstead play, which is not a bad play for him. And I do not fault Eric Armstead at all for chasing the bag. Don't do it. None whatsoever. Kyle Juszczyk did it differently. But what if? What if Kyle said, peace, I'm going to go get my money elsewhere. There's shady head coaches everywhere. Everybody wants a fullback. I'll get paid more wherever I go. He didn't do that. But if he did, like, it just shows Shanahan saying, look, guys, we can shake things up. We can change things. So you keep Juice. That's awesome. I'm very happy for that. Will he get 604 snaps this year? I don't think he will. I really don't think that he will. I don't see that. Now, what if you move Kyle Juszczyk from 604 snaps to 504 snaps? You knock off 100 plays over the course of 18 games, you know, 17 games. How much does that come out to? It's like 7 snaps a game. All right. That's significant. So again, maybe I'm framing this backwards, but I hope I'm painting a picture. This whole conversation, how do you get Ricky Pearsall more snaps whenever you kept all of your wide receivers? You kept everybody. Now, all the clickbait people were like, oh, we're trading Ayuk and Debo. Both are going to be gone. Some people are still out there saying we're trading Debo this year. Morons, but that's okay. People keep clicking on it, so they're doing their job. They don't care about integrity. They don't care about accuracy. That's not what they're there for. They're there for engagement. You always got to ask, what are they selling? What are they selling? Are they selling it because they actually have inside sources? Never do they have inside sources. Some of the top guys, you talk Mike Silver, yeah, he's got access to the team, whatever else. But, like, you look at these sources, and it's like Francilla or, like, whatever, and it's like, dude, these guys are just making stuff up because we keep clicking it. That's what it is. All right. So question is, what am I selling? I'm selling time. I want you guys here to hang out with me and have a good time. And maybe one day we share a beer together or tequila or food or whatever. That's what I'm selling. So take that for what you will. Now, back to this idea. Okay, let's look at our big three. 1,024 offensive snaps last year in the regular season for the 49ers, right? Ayuk led the way, 990. Ayuk was Iron Man last year. Incredible. Debo, 822. I mean, that's 160-plus drop. That's a considerable drop. Now, he missed a couple of games, but Debo takes more time off because he does the running back stuff, the in-around stuff, all that. So Ayuk 990, Debo 822, Juwan Jennings 469. That's a healthy drop. That's 300 and pretty close to 60 snaps difference between Debo and Jennings. So you have this exponential decrease, right? From Ayuk to Debo is like 160. From Debo to Jennings is like 360. You see what I'm saying? Like, we don't run three wide receiver sets. Now, if we carry it on, let's just finish this conversation on wide receiver snap rate last season for the Niners. Ray-Ray McCloud, 236. Ronnie Bell, 185. Chris Conley, 151. Willie Snead, 26. Those are the wide receivers, but I'm going to throw in Kyle Juszczyk, 604, because I think that factors into this discussion. You're not taking Christian McCaffrey off the field. You're not taking George Kittle off the field. Those are stayed. That's 11 personnel. So, where does Slick Rick fit in? Where's he fit? He's got to play somewhere. He's got to get snaps for somewhere. Ayuk, Debo, Jennings still there. Are you pulling Jennings off the field for Ricky Pearsall? I'm not against that. But I don't think that's really the long-term play. Maybe it is. But I don't know. Like, Jennings brings something vital to this team. He really, really does. So maybe you take some Debo snaps away. Maybe you take some Jennings snaps away. I have been very consistent in my take that so far, Ricky Pearsall is not an X wide receiver. Maybe he can transition into that. I think that would be a huge miss by the 49ers personnel department, coaching department, to put him at X already. I would put him at slot, the Jennings role. I would put him at Z, the Debo role. Those are the two spots I think he should be at early. We'll see. 49ers do play people out of position quite often, and it is beyond frustrating. And that's okay. That's okay. And, you know, right. I love it. Josh says, you know, can we finally run the slot fade? Gosh, man. We did it with Trey Lance more than now. There was one slot fade where we motioned Ayuk into the slot and then he ran a fade, and that was in the playoffs. I think it was against Green Bay, perhaps. We've done it some. But, man, the slot fade just eats our lunch, man. It destroys us. And so, gosh, man, I would really, really like to change that. Now, and again, the tape, we'll go to the tape real quick. That dude, Ricky Pearsall, can run a slot fade. Just runs him off. Oh, my gosh. Whew, look at the slot fade, baby. This is unbelievable, just adjustment to the ball. Willie Mays Hayes style, fingertip. Man, that is unbelievable. I ain't mad about that. That is, man, that is good. That is textbook. Incredible. Now, okay, let's go back to this. Does he get separation vertically? He doesn't. A little bit there. But you can see this is why the slot fade's so dangerous. You can, you know, he starts on the hash and catches outside the numbers. So you just widen, widen, widen. Oh, man, that is such a great adjustment to the ball. It's dangerous. I mean, you're enlarging the target area for Brock Purdy. And that's what does he do better than anything, right? Change of direction, hands, body control, vertical ability, like those are the things. So you can magnify some of those traits from the slot. And that's why a lot of guys are just slot out CeeDee Lamb, right? He can play all over the place. CeeDee Lamb's fine. But like there are guys that are just slot guys because they need that extra space to create horizontally. The slot fade's a killer because you're not just running straight up field. You're running at an angle, right? You've got to cover vertical and horizontal at the same time so you can throw open the wide receiver. Niners don't do this well. I think Brock Purdy could do it well. Now you're pairing him up. You don't want to run a slot fade with Jennings. Dude gets no separation, vertical or horizontal. He's just tough as hell, but he's slow as hell. Debo, not a separation guy. guess what? Now we got a separation guy. Now, vertical separation will always be a concern with what we got. But, man, I really hope we do that. I really do. Josh says, you know, of the 39% of plays where the 49ers were in that 11 personnel, how many were run plays? Well, okay, there's – here we go. I think we can kind of figure this out because of Juwan Jennings. Because if Juwan Jennings is on the field, now he had to fill in some for Debo when he was hurt, so this is not an exact thing, and I'm sure somewhere there's the statistic. I can't find it on a live show. But if we just look at Juwan Jennings' total plays whenever he's out there, 11 personnel most of the time, right? You ran the ball. So he had 469 snaps. 142 were run plays. All right. So how do we do that? We do the reverse, right? We do the 142 divided by. We're doing this live on air. This is exciting. We're doing math live on air. I'm very happy. 30% of plays were run plays. So when we're in 11 personnel, we're throwing the damn ball. It's only a 30% play rate. I wish that would change. Kyle's pretty predictable whenever he comes to his pass plays on third down. So there we go. Of the 39% we're in 11 personnel, only 30% are run plays. 70%. 70% are pass plays. You're lessening Juwan Jennings' value. Now, third and Juwan's always going to be a thing as long as he's here. Ooh, that's good. That's a good question, Josh. That's a good question right here from Twitter. He says, you know, the offense should change as Kittle and Juice get old and come off the roster. It won't be easy to find replacements for unique skill sets. You're right. And maybe, you know, everybody, the immediate look is Pearsall and Cowan are replacements for Ayuk and Debo. Maybe you're right, Jay. Maybe you're right. Cowan could make an impact year one. Where will he play at OTA next week? Look, and here's the thing. Cowan matters. Jacob Cowan is a stud, but he's a fourth-round pick. He wasn't even your first fourth-round pick, was he? I don't think so. So, like, Cowan matters, but he's fourth-rounder. I want Cowan to play the X role, personally. I want him in the Ayuk role because I think he could separate vertically, and he's way smaller, but nobody could touch him in flag football because he's this tiny little shifty with way more vertical speed than Pearsall does. I think X is where he belongs, that Tank Dell role. I really do. Now, he can play the slot like Tank Dell can, but Cowan, I want Pearsall. I argue with myself all the time on this. What do I want? I want both on the field at the same time working backups, right? So I want Pearsall at Z, and I want Cowan at X, and I want Ronnie Bell at the slot role. I think that's where he has a chance. If I was, and I'd argue with myself, but you're saying, John Chapman, where are we putting everybody? We're not changing Ayuk, Debo, and Jennings. Those spots are solid. I'm going, all right. Cowan, you're going to X. Pearsall, you're going to Z. And Ronnie Bell, you're now slot. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. So, and do we need a Juice backup plan? I don't think so. If there is one, I really do think Braden Willis is probably a better fullback than a tight end. He played that role at Oklahoma, which I hate saying that. I hate saying Oklahoma. Oklahoma's terrible. But yeah, at 0U, he played that same role. So I think he could do some of those things. We saw Ross Dwelly take those snaps whenever Juice got hurt back in the day. But man, you're struggling. You're struggling there. So yeah, right there. At 100 plays that produce more yards. There we go. That's what we want. 300 of same snaps this year, 60 out wide. Yeah, I love you breaking all this down. Oh, what's up, Jax? So glad to see you. Positivity is always welcome. You're an incredible person. Loves to see you. Love to see you, man. Made me happy. Josh, Ricky is also deadly with the deep crossers, which is a, yeah, he is. Yes, he is. And his catch radius is huge whenever it comes to that. So let's backtrack. Let's get back on focus. Conversation mainstay. How many snaps can we get Ricky Pearsall? And how do we get him more? Okay. So let's play this game. Okay, Let's start at the floor. Let's say Ricky Pearsall just takes over Ray-Ray McLeod snaps. It's going to be more than that, but let's just start there at the floor for how much he can play. 236 wide receiver snaps for Ray-Ray last year. Easy, okay? We're right there. Like that. That's where we're starting at. Ricky Pearsall, 236 snaps, not enough. Not to justify a first-round pick. Not even close. So, let's give him all of Willie Snead's snaps, right? Snead had 26. We're bumping those over just a little bit. You know, that number is going up. Now we're at about 260. Let's go back. Where are we going to steal? I don't want to take away from Jennings yet. I don't want to take away from Debo yet. Let's just assume those numbers stay the same. But we increase 10% of offensive plays in three wide receiver sets. Last year, we were second to dead last with 39%. Let's bump it up 10%. And we give that extra 10% not to Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings stays at his number, 469 snaps. That's where he should be. Perfect. We're not taking away. We're not adding Jennings. But we are adding three wide receiver sets. That doesn't affect Ayuk, Debo, and Jennings is going to be on the sideline for these 10%. What does a 10% increase equal? Well, 124 snaps on the season, 10%. Guess what? 102 snaps. So we go from 236. That's Ray-Ray. We add in Snead, and we add in the new 10%. Now we're at 362. Or that's where we're at. Now we're cooking. Now we're getting them closer. I still want them closer to 500. That's not enough. Do you increase 20%? That's too rich. That's too drastic a change for the Kyle Shanahan. No. We're not going from 39 to 59%. Now, what's crazy is, even if we did that, that would give, we're at about 468 snaps, right at what Jennings got, which I'd be very happy with. If you could get Ricky Pearsall 469 snaps, which is what Jennings had last year, that would be awesome. I'd sign up right now on that. But even if you added the 20% into 11 personnel or three wide receiver sets, that put the 49ers at 59%, you're still below average. Seattle is right smack dab in the middle with 65% three wide receiver sets. So you'd still be below average. I would be very happy with that. I'm not sure Kyle would. Now, do you take away Kyle Juszczyk, 604 to 504, 100 snaps there? I'm cool with that. And because I think, again, you don't want to take away Ayuk and Debo. Maybe some Debo. Maybe he'll be more effective with a little bit less, so you can get an extra 50, 60 snaps there. But I'm not wanting to take away. I'm wanting addition by, how do I say this? Take Juice from 600 to 500. Do you lose some of the explosiveness? I don't think so. Maybe some of the versatility. I'm okay with that. That's not a huge drop. 604 snaps to 504 snaps. I don't want Jennings snaps to go down at all. I want Jennings and Pearsall to be right on top of each other as far as grades go, like snaps go. If I get each one of those 450 snaps, oh, like I'd be totally cool with that. That's what I would want to see. That's just me. That's just me. And I see people talking in the chat about like clickbait and different content creators. Let me just say this real quick. This is a little off topic. Whatever you enjoy, listen to those people. I don't care who that is. If that's clickbait, man, enjoy that. Your fandom. And I've said this so many times and it gets taken out of context and people try to fight me in parking lots and whatever else. I don't care. Look, protect your fandom. If listening to guys like Skip Bayless and whatever else, Nick Wright or whoever's out there, man, enjoy that. That's fun. This is supposed to be fun. But if listening to that stuff and, you know, them going 0 for 100 bothers you and causes you to, like, be mad and angry and, like, whatever, protect your fandom. Eliminate that from, if I cause you to not enjoy the 49ers, hit unsubscribe, hit block, do that immediately, please. enjoy sports. And I tell this story all the time. Like my fandom is all over the place, right? I became a Niners fan because I didn't get along with my stepdad, who was a diehard Cowboys fan, right? So I did it out of spite. It stuck since I was 9 years old to today. My dad, who, you know, I never really lived with, but I spent summers with, he was a diehard Braves fan. He had season tickets. And so I've been to hundreds and hundreds of Braves games. So Braves are my baseball team. But I would go to these Braves games with my dad, and he'd get kicked out of the games because he'd drink too much, and he'd cuss the team the whole time. He hated Chipper Jones with the bat. He would just sit there and yell F Chipper Jones over and over again, and then we'd get kicked out, and we'd come back the next day, and the same thing would happen again. But I always used to say, like, Dad, like, you love the Braves, right? He's like, yeah. Why are you so mad all the time at Braves games? We'll be up 6 runs. And he was like the major league fan. Oh, we'll blow it in the ninth. He was always like that. And so I saw how pissed he was as a fan, spending all this money going to all these games all the time. And I was like, man, I just don't understand. Like, this should be fun. And so that's kind of directed my approach. Now, my stepdad didn't care about basketball, and so I'm a Mavs guy too. Doesn't make sense. And I get it. You can make fun of me for liking all these random teams, but there's reasons why. Nobody liked the Mavericks whenever I was a kid because they were the Mavericks. Then we got the Triple J's. Oh, man, those were some good times. I love those old uniforms. Plus, Michael Finley is one of my favorites. And whenever he went to the Spurs, I died a little inside, but that's okay. So, like, I don't know. Whatever. All that to say this. If you enjoy, man, support those things. And, yeah, there's always going to be clickbait. You look at NFL Network just laid off another gigantic portion of their staff, even though they just broke the record for most profitable season ever. They're firing. Who are they firing? Andrew Siciliano, who's like one of the best ever. He's as good as it gets. You look at ESPN, like, it's not about quality. It's all about engagement. And those other people, they create engagement. That's not me. I don't want to be that. I never want to go viral about anything. That's not what I want. So figure out we're in the offseason. It's May. We can spend some time on this. What is it that you want out of this? We're rooting on grown men throwing a ball. It's trivial. I get it. But it's my career, and I freaking love it. So find a way to enjoy things more. And if you don't enjoy it, man, check yourself a little bit and figure out the reasons why you don't enjoy it. If it's all the negativity, man, delete that crap. If it's all the positivity and people that are just mouthpieces for the 49ers, delete that. Figure that out, please. Because, man, this is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be fun. Man, I'm way behind in the chat. I'm not going to be able to figure all this out. Now, I'm never going to catch up. That's okay. That's okay. I will say the one area that is very clear that they had to deviate away from, not by choice perhaps, is tight end two. You can't do tight end two right now. You don't have a tight end two. You just signed a dude from the XFL in Cade Brewer, who's probably your tight end two. You're not putting Cade Brewer out there. Go back to where we started with McVay. You're going to put Cade Brewer out there for snaps and sit Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings on the sideline? That's not a very good use of your resources. Maybe Cameron Lawtu steps up. Maybe Braden Willis can get some Kyle Juszczyk snaps. Now, obviously, you're going to have some 2 tight end sets and 3 tight end sets. Every team does, but not to the extent where you're parking your first round pick, the first one in 3 years, on the sideline so that you can have Cade Brewer, Cameron Lawtu, Braden Willis out there. You don't do that. I don't know. Yeah, that's what it is. Cub says, when's your call-in show? I don't do call-in shows. I tried doing some of that in the past, and you know, you get some people coming in with, again, this. I'm a fan. I'm not an insider. I don't want inside information. People will I throw parties, and I want to have people have fun and talk Niners. That's it. Now, we do Zoom hangouts, which I think I'm waiting for the basketball schedule to come out next week because I don't want to schedule it during a Mavs game. I think next week we're going to have a Zoom hangout, and that's where we get to talk and share ideas. But I don't put that public on YouTube because I'm sorry. I want to protect my listeners. There's call-in shows out there, and they're a beautiful thing, and I listen to them. I know Croc. I know Wayne. I know a lot of people do that stuff, and people that I support. I think that's awesome. That's never really something I wanted to do, and so I didn't want to bring that into my space. And so I tried to do the comments, and I tried to do prepared stuff because I want to channel and navigate the discussion of 49ers on this show personally. And a lot of people disagree with that. But if you have something that you want to get across, email me, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. Put in a question, put in whatever your comments are. I'll try to relay that and set that up on the show and give you credit. But I don't know. I want to protect this show. I really, really do. It's a family-friendly show. I want it to always be that. Sometimes I let some curse words slip, but I want this show to be the type of fan that, I don't know, I see the faithful as being, which is awesome and fun. And talking trash is a beautiful thing. Not always positive, but I sure as hell don't want this to turn into tear down, tear down, tear down, tear down. And that's what a lot of talk shows, especially call-in shows, get. And I get that. I understand. But, you know, it's what it is. And Cubs, man, I really appreciate you. I really do appreciate you sharing and all that stuff. He says, you know, we fan how we want to fan, but the community is the community. That's the best part. We all care. Yes, yes, yes. And there's lots of places to express that. And I hope that this is a little bit a place for that. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. Oh, look at Permaculture. He says, you know, you're close to Sacramento now. Rivercats tickets, $15. Hey, man, invite me out. Let's go to a game together. Email me, man. Let's go out. Let's have a good time. Have a beer. Watch some baseball. I think there's a baseball team there. If it's not, Permaculture. Yeah, first round's on me always. That's the rule. Big Papa, appreciate you, brother. And, yeah, Jacob, like, people are going to land on their feet. Siciliano, he's going to land on his feet. He already has ears out there listening. That's a pretty good joke. That was pretty good. I think he would appreciate that joke as well. And so, yeah, it just stinks whenever you see people that do it right and create such an awesome space to be a fan without, like, attacking and tearing down. Like, oh, it's my favorite thing, man. It's what it is. So, but I, and again, Cubs, I appreciate you, man. I really, really do. And yeah, hopefully we meet up one day. I would really, really like that. Now, we talk about, you know, I put this poll out there yesterday and I was like, look, of the road games, and I removed the three divisional games because we do those every year. You know, we'll be in Seattle, we'll be in Arizona again this year, and the Rams, that's a whole nother thing. But these are my four favorite road trips that the 49ers have scheduled. Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Buffalo, Miami, in no order, no particular order. And I asked, you know, Twitter, and had 1,000 votes just in a couple short hours. I was on there for a while. But Green Bay came in second. Buffalo was first. I was shocked by that. Miami third. And Tampa Bay got, like, no love. 4% of the votes had Tampa Bay. I feel like Buffalo, Miami, and Green Bay were close. But man, I'm excited about those trips. And as long as they're spread out, not on holidays, I'm hoping to be at all those. And I hope you guys get to come out. And if you're ever close to one of these, man, come say what's up. Now, we charge. We have to. Like, I don't have big time sponsors. I'm not the 49ers. I'm not run by, you know, a professional whiskey company. It's just John Chapman in my wallet. And, you know, it's funny because the first couple of years that we started doing these, like, I lost a lot of money. I really, really did. And I was like, man, I don't think I should do this anymore. Like, I'm paying money to travel and throw these events and losing money. And that's rough. But thankfully, the podcast has picked up enough to where it's like, okay, it worked out. And now we can throw these parties and we're not necessarily losing money all the time. Definitely not the best business plan to go. But we give away so much, which makes me happy, and it builds fans, the community, whatever, all the stuff I was saying earlier. But man, we're going to be doing these trips. And look, I know that they cost money. Renting out venues on Saturdays in primetime cities when there's, you know, games in town is not easy. It costs a lot of money. And then the players, that's a whole nother thing. So look, we have to charge for these things. I'm sorry. I wish we didn't. But if money is an issue, and I've always said this, don't let money stop you from coming to our events. John, I want to come to the Green Bay thing. Do you need help? Come help us. We need an army of help to set up and tear down and do all the things that we want to do. And we haven't even reached close to what we're trying to accomplish here. This year, we're incorporating travel packages, which I'm super excited about, where we stay at the same hotel, covers all your night before party, the tailgate, and game tickets where we can sit together, which has been a huge hurdle in trying to organize. But I think we're close. I think we're close to establishing that now. And, you know, with the podcast picking up and people like you subscribing to our Patreon and the 49ersrush.com, that allows me to set some of that revenue aside to create some of these things. And I think that's going to be just, again, increasing the fan experience so that you can go to these cities, even if you travel by yourself, and be with the faithful and be with people you know, albeit on social media and YouTube or whatever, however you listen. But, man, that is a powerful feeling. I went to my first 49ers game by myself. I knew zero people. It was a little intimidating. Now, my personality is a little weird, and I made a lot of friends, and it was awesome. Still friends with some of those people today. But I understand that's not everybody's MO. That's intimidating. And so if you want to travel and not be alone, we're trying to create those spaces for you so that you can be a friend, and you can be with community, and you can be all those things. That's the whole idea. Mosquito killer, man. What's up, Sean? Speaking of the devil, rush trips are the best. Worth the money. That's what's up, man. it comes. He says, fine. After the schedule release, I'll take out loans. I just want to be with the faithful. I mean, I'm not trying to do that. But David, appreciate you, man. He says he's going to make it out to a rush party eventually. And I hope you guys do. you guys are great, man. Grand A. Speaking of coming out, man, he's the best, man. Him and his wife, incredible people. Going to see you in Miami, man. Yeah, Miami and Tampa. I really am concerned they're going to do those back-to-back. If they do, I can't stay out in Florida for 2 weeks. I just can't. It doesn't work with the family. Maybe once my son graduates, you know, he's going to be a junior this upcoming year, but he's playing football. And if I stay out there and I miss two of his games, that's just, I can't do that. But this has been a fun show. You know, and I do think, again, how do you get Ricky Pearsall more snaps? I think it's there. If you tell me, again, you say, John, Ricky Pearsall gets 450 snaps. Take it or leave it right now. I'm like, ugh. That's the over-under. If you told me 500 snaps, I'm signing up for it. You told me 400 snaps, I'm leaving it. You tell me 450, I'm like, push. You see what I'm saying? Like, how do we get him that play? How do we get him on the field? You got to. 500, sign me up. That's more than Jennings got last year. 450, I don't think I'd take that deal. 400, hell no. I'd be, that's a disappointment. Now, injuries play into it, all that, whatever else. But you have to scheme away. And, man, we would do this in high school. We'd sit down and we'd say, okay, we're running 55 plays minimum today. Where do we want those targets to go? And we'd sit there and be like, okay, this wide receiver, we want to have at least this many targets. We want our running back to get this many carries. We want this many quarterback keeps. We want this many like, you plan that stuff out. And we would have a coach, and this was just with targets. We would have several coaches on the offensive, defensive side, and we would say, first quarter report. You jump on the first quarter report, touches, go. And you'd be like, so-and-so's behind, two touches already. So-and-so's ahead, three touches. So-and-so hasn't had a target yet. And you'd be like, oh, crap. Like, we got to adjust, right? And whenever Shanahan does his 24, he plans that out. There's a certain way that he wants to take advantage of that. NFL teams do that. Do you do it with snap counts and all that stuff? How they do a training camp, OTAs, all that stuff. But I can tell you this. When OTAs happen, rookie OTA, where do Jacob Cowan and Ricky Pearsall line up? That, ladies and gentlemen, that is important. That's going to tell us a lot. That's going to tell us a lot. I'm excited. I'm very excited, man. Man, this is fun. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this show. Also loaded up another Malik Mustafa breakdown on the 49ersrush.com if you haven't checked that out yet. No show tomorrow live. Got some family stuff going on. Going to be a good time. And then Monday, John Wayne, Johnny Dale. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully you guys join us for that one. 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Going to be early. Going to be fun. Bring your coffee. You guys are the best. Really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for the fun conversation and all the support. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.